Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
You can find the others. And we talk all the time about how this is the moment in the year when most people are getting engaged. And by all means, if you are buying a diamond ring, go to Robert Owen Jewelers. You will get a beautiful, bigger diamond for a affordable price. They will not try to pressure you into buying something that you will have to be mortgaging for the next 20 years. So it is the place to go, as Jeffrey did, if you are looking for a diamond to get engaged. But honestly, if you're looking for any other kind of gift, a whole range of prices for anyone you love. They have beautiful jewelry that will make someone really, really happy this holiday. So stop on by. It's rijewelers.com.
Hey, it's Howie from Robert Irwin Jewelers. And if this Christmas you want to get her something really unique, something you won't find anywhere else except for at a locally owned company like mine, you got to get to a Robert Irwin Jewelers. Free financing, 5 locations, or online at rijewelers.com.
Are you hungry for the usual today? Or are you ready to spice things up with the new Nashville Hot Brisket from Firehouse Subs? We're kicking up our slow-smoked beef brisket with Nashville Hot Seasoning. It's topped with melted pepper jack and our sweet and tangy slaw, served piping hot on a toasted cornbread roll. Yeah, a cornbread roll. Save time. Order your new Nashville Hot Brisket on the Firehouse Subs app today. Firehouse Subs. Enjoy more subs. Save more lives. Participating locations, limited time only.
Fast, reliable internet. It's important to your business. At Comcast Business, we go beyond fast with amazing solutions and a great deal.
What kind of solutions?
Well, solutions like automatic 4G LTE backup for more complete reliability.
I like the sound of that. What else?
Powerful Wi-Fi that keeps your employees connected. And bandwidth you can allocate between your customers and employees. I'm not even done yet. Comcast Business has advanced voice solutions at affordable prices and cloud-based security for all your devices.
And that great deal?
Right now, get started with 75 megabit internet for $49.95 per month for 2 years when you add 2 voice mobility lines and sign up for paperless billing and auto pay. Call 1-800-501-6000 today. Comcast Business. Beyond fast.
Monthly service charge increases by $10 without paperless billing and auto pay. Offer ends 12/22/19. Restrictions apply. New business customers only. 2-year agreement required. Early termination fee applies. Equipment taxes and fees extra, subject to change. Backup limited to up to 8 hours.
Remember the first time you climbed the high dive ladder? You thought about it all summer. You watched the others. Now, all your friends were watching you. Life is full of these high dive moments. But when you have a bank like First Horizon behind you, you've got the confidence to make a big splash. Now you can get a jump on your finances with a special bonus when you open any checking account. First Horizon, understanding runs deep. Visit firsthorizon.com/leap.
Broadcasting live from the Triumph Bank Studios, invested in our communities, making banking easy for you. Let's talk growth. Triumph Bank. It's the Jeff Calkins Show on 92.9 FM ESPN. Today's special guest host, Jeffrey Wright. She shows
up like the devil. Over at the Daily Memphian, Chris Harrington has his road recap. Connor stepped in studio. Connor, let's fire it up.
Now, it's Chris Harrington from the Daily Memphian on the Grizzlies and beyond. Every weekday around 10 a.m. Brought to you by the attorneys of Thomas White & Gill. Find them online at memphisfamilylaw.com.
Chris, what are we listening to?
That's Miss Ferguson by Corey Brannon, a little throwback to circa 2001, I think. Local singer-songwriter. Corey will be having his 45th birthday party show this weekend at the Green Room at Crosstown Concourse.
Memphis Grizzlies knock off Phoenix Suns 115-108. Of course, the highlight that has been going viral is, of course, Ja Morant finally got that dunk that he has been searching for. In terms of just kind of big picture, I'm curious to know your thoughts. When we got to see Brandon Clark get back into the lineup, he was yet again incredibly efficient. Ja really he had the highlight play, but it wasn't a particularly spectacular night, I feel like, from Ja. But what did you, in terms of looking at the entire 48 minutes, what did you kind of make of last night?
Yeah, I mean, Ja wasn't really the story until he became the story there at the very end, right? And that sort of obscured everything else. To me, before that point, the story of the game was probably Brandon Clark and DeAnthony Melton.
Yeah.
And especially Brandon Clark and DeAnthony Melton together, which we hadn't seen maybe ever, at least not in any meaningful capacity. And to see those two on the floor in stretches with Jaren Jackson and with Ja Morant, and you see sort of that, when you do that, you're sort of it's almost like this twin effect. You're sort of doubling up athleticism in the backcourt. You're doubling up athleticism in the front court, and you just have this quick, athletic, dynamic group, and you saw sort of the impact that had. And, you know, Brandon Clark and DeAnthony Melton are guys who can impact the game in so many ways just because, A, they're both so quick, and then Melton is so long, and Clark is so springy that, you know, you look up, and they're not only are they making all these shots, but, you know, they're combining, I think, for 3 or 4 blocks and like 10 or 11 rebounds, and they're just making stuff happen. And so I think that was exciting to see and hopefully a harbinger of things to come.
Did it surprise you last night? Kind of, I think there was maybe the thought that DeAnthony Melton, with returning guys to the lineup, would fall down in the rotation. Yet again, he gets nearly 20 minutes. Did it surprise you to see him on the floor as much as he was?
No, not with Grayson Allen out. And so, I mean, there's been this thing where the last week or two, there's always been somebody out. That was not the case against Golden State. And so against Golden State, he was used sort of as a fifth guard. Tyus Jones came in as the first backup, the first point guard off the bench, and Grayson Allen came in as the first scoring guard off the bench. And my concern was like, you know, DeAnthony Melton would just stay on the bench. But they sort of forced him into the mix. And so they played three-guard lineups, and, you know, they moved Allen technically to the three, and they just found a way to get him minutes. And then last night with Allen out, he just moved right into that backup scoring guard role, which is sort of what I had been wanting him to play really most of the season. You know, we'll see what happens again, you know, when Grayson Allen's back and they're at full strength. But I just think Melton's played too well not to keep him in the mix in some capacity.
Was Jonas Valanciunas' tough night the direct result of seeing the American version of him on the other side?
The American version of him is Kaminsky?
Well, no, I thought there were multiple times last night where I saw Aaron Baines, and I was like, wait.
Aaron Baines is not American. That's where you had me confused.
Oh, I'm sorry. Washington State's version, excuse me.
Right. I think Aaron Baines is Australian, right?
I think you're right. Yes, I stand correct. Washington State definitely recruits the Pacific, or recruits Australia.
Right, right. I mean, the thing about Baines, yeah, Baines is sort of similar, sort of looks similar and has that sort of big, sort of hulking kind of presence. He's a better shooter, three-point shooter at least, than Valanciunas, although Valanciunas has shown some growth in that area. To me, it was really Kaminsky. You know, at the beginning of the game, you know, Valanciunas was struggling to finish around the rim early, and there was no reason for that. That was just one of those nights. But he sort of got exposed defensively in Frank Kaminsky playing beyond the arc and just really not being able to stick with him or not wanting to stick with him that far from the basket. And Kaminsky, I think, had 15 points in the first half. And that was a game where you saw the difference between a Jonas Valanciunas and when Jaren Jackson shifts to play center. Now, Jonas is such a better rebounder, there's that. But Jonas is really getting exposed defensively away from the basket. Whereas it flipped the other way when Jaren was at center and he was able to attack those slower guys off the dribble and get to the rim. I think those matchups are going to vary night to night. But I really think that, you know, if they want to try to win games, they should really be playing matchups more probably with the front court pairings. Some nights it'll be more of a Jonas night, and some nights it'll be more of a Jaren and Brandon Clark together night.
In terms of what we've seen from Jaren, you're the one that's pointed out that, you know, if you look at Jaren's progress, particularly shooting the basketball, there's clearly been improvements. It feels to me now as if he's starting to find more of a comfort, and maybe perhaps it's as simple as the Grizzlies and Taylor Jenkins' staff are getting more comfortable with the best ways to use him. Do you feel as if, though, now we've seen enough to where you can kind of shake off notions of this could be a sophomore slump.
Yeah, no, I think he was bad the first 2 or 3 weeks of the season in a concerning way. And obviously that has still had a drag on what his numbers for the season look like. I think he's trended back up the last several weeks. And you really get the sense of him, like he has a lot of different components to his game he's trying to improve on. And you get the sense of sort of one at a time almost. Like the three-point shooting is the first thing that really came this season in terms of him as a volume three-point shooter. And then the last 2 or 3 weeks, his block shot numbers are trending up. I think he's been better defensively on the whole. And then really just the last week or so, and some of this has been Valanciunas missing those games and you know, Valanciunas being out some last night, you're seeing him attack more off the dribble. You're getting that not just a spot-up shooter, but a guy who can leverage that shooting ability into being able to attack closeouts and just attack bigs one-on-one. And so, you know, I just think the expectations on him got too high too fast, and that's why there's a little bit of a disappointment around him. But one of the things I wrote on Monday in my weekly preview thing I do every week, right now Jaren Jackson is averaging more than 15 points a game, more than 2 threes a game, more than 1 block a game. And those are not like crazy numbers. Like, I think he'll just keep doing that. But if he does, at the end of the season, if he's hit all three of those marks, he's going to be the youngest player in NBA history to do that by 3 years. And so I just think the idea that he's disappointing, like I understand why people think that way, but I think that's more a consequence of the expectations getting too high too fast.
Is there any correlation between, you know, as you mentioned, I like the way that you phrased it with Ja Morant. He wasn't the story last night until he was the story with that one play, but yet again, right. It's another night where we see Ja not have a particularly good night on the whole, and Jaren did. And it feels yet again that it feels as if we can't get both playing well on the same time.
I think that's been getting better, too. That's another thing I wrote on Monday. I know there's been a couple games since then. But when I wrote on Monday, they had played 16 games together this season. And in the first 8 of those 16 games, there had been 5 instances of Ja Morant assisting Jaren Jackson. In the next 8 games, there were 10. And so I think it's a process, but I think it's a process that's generally trending in the right direction.
In terms of, from just your observations, what do you think has made it a difficult adjustment for the fact that, you know, you think, okay, well, we've got an elite point guard, or, you know, elite, not yet, but certainly an immensely talented point guard, and we've got an immensely talented front court player. You'd think that would just be kind of plug in place. What has been the struggles to kind of get it going?
I think for Jaren, I think it's a little bit different for each of the players, and that sort of comes together. For Jaren, it's just been, I mean, the last time he had played before the season was back in February, which was before Mike Conley was off the team, and it was like a couple of days, basically, after Marc Gasol had left. And so Jaren came back after a long layoff into a totally, not only different players, but totally different kinds of players he's playing with. Like, Jonas Valanciunas is a very different player than Marc Gasol. Ja Morant's a very different player than Mike Conley. So he came into a new system, different kinds of players, totally different pace, just everything was different. And I think that's been an adjustment for him. For Ja Morant, like, he didn't play with talented bigs at Murray State.
Yeah.
And he would spend a lot of time, like, let's figure out how to get a good post entry to this guy and, like, let's run the pick and roll and the pick and pop. I mean, it was just all him. He was just, you know, he was dominating everything. And so he didn't really have to modulate his game around secondary players who were anywhere close to his level of ability. So I think it's been an adjustment for both.
No one's going to mistake Phoenix for a contender, but they certainly are at least in the mix to get one of those final playoff spots in the West. In your opinion, is there a key difference between, you know, a night like last night where the Grizzlies look good and they play well, and they played well against a decent opponent? Is there any trend, or is there anything that stands out to you for what makes last night different than some of the other nights where we've seen this team just not be competitive?
Well, I think having Ja Morant playing basketball
that helps
an awful lot. That's a pretty big difference. I think having Brandon Clark play basketball helps an awful lot. And I think Jaren Jackson not being in a funk like he was early in the season. And so you have all three of those guys playing and playing well. I don't know if there's anything special beyond that. I mean, the Dylan Brooks thing, right, which everyone has noted.
Yeah.
That's been sort of a tipping point to the degree that you can get offense from that position. And so when he has a big night, that really sort of raises your floor offensively in terms of being able to compete. This has not been a good offensive team on the whole. And so I think getting points from that position, having wing players make shots generally, but particularly him, sort of, you know, raises you to a point of competitiveness that maybe you don't otherwise have.
And then along the lines of Dylan Brooks, we've seen Dylan have big nights, and typically it's been because he shot the three ball well. And last night he's 1 of 5, but he was still efficient from the floor. Is what you're seeing right now, is it a example of a guy getting, you know, getting volume shots on a bad team, or is this something that maybe is trending in Dylan's favor of maybe, you know, looking at the face of and hands up here, I'm not someone that thinks he's an NBA starter, but is this something that maybe I have to reconsider?
I think almost anyone who's decent can be an NBA starter, depending on who the other four guys on the floor are. That said, I think his the kind of game he has and the athletic limitations that he has, I think he is probably on a good team best suited to be an energy guy and a buckets guy off the bench. And so if the Grizzlies are fortunate enough to find a more talented scoring guard, you know, this summer in some capacity, I think you could re-sign Dylan Brooks. He could easily shift into that kind of role if he's willing to accept it. I think that is probably, you know, the best version of Dylan Brooks is more likely that. It's the guy who gets you buckets off the bench when he's got it going, and you don't have to play him as much when he doesn't have it going.
Chris, we appreciate it. We got Giannis coming into town tomorrow night. We'll talk to you about that tomorrow.
All right, thanks.
That is, of course, Chris Harrington. His road recap is available up over at the Daily Memphian. You should go subscribe to the Daily Memphian. Do so for only $7 a month. When we come back, we get into the NFL. Lamar Jackson questionable tonight with a bad hammy. We'll ask Steve White if he thinks it's worth the risk of playing him at this point. We'll also get into another big weekend as we really start to kind of look at the playoff picture. Huge weekend and a huge Sunday for the Tennessee Titans. We'll get into that and more with Steve White when we come back right here on the Jeff Calkins Show, 92.9 FM, ESPN.
Here at Entercom, we're having a holiday party. Where? Bounty, of course. And as much as I love Bounty, I actually had nothing to do with it. But when I got the invitation, I was thrilled. Just as your colleagues, your friends, and your family will be thrilled if you include Bounty as part of your celebration of the season. It's one of the most beautiful spaces in the city. The food is fabulous. The other day, I had the pan-seared scallops for the first time. I've never had better scallops in my life. But that's also true of the crisp Brussels and the braised pork shank and the fried oysters and everything else. And the food is served family style, so the whole table can share. So plan your holiday party at Bounty or stop by and get someone you love a gift certificate. That way they'll be delighted when they open it and delighted all over again when they go to Bounty for a meal. For reservations, call 901-410-8131 or go to bountyonbroad.com. Bounty is located at 2519 Broad Avenue. We might just see you there.
Fast, reliable internet. It's important to your business. At Comcast Business, we go beyond fast with amazing solutions and a great deal.
What kind of solutions?
Well, solutions like automatic 4G LTE backup for more complete reliability.
I like the sound of that. What else?
Powerful Wi-Fi that keeps your employees connected. And bandwidth you can allocate between your customers and employees. I'm not even done yet. Comcast Business has advanced voice solutions at affordable prices and cloud-based security for all your devices.
And that great deal?
Right now, get started with 75 megabit internet for $49.95 per month for 2 years when you add 2 voice mobility lines and sign up for paperless billing and auto pay. Call 1-800-501-6000 today. Comcast Business. Beyond fast.
Monthly service charge increases by $10 without paperless billing and auto pay. Offer ends 12/22/19. Restrictions apply. New business customers only. 2-year agreement required. Early termination fee applies. Equipment taxes and fees extra subject to change. Backup limited to up to 8 hours.
Hey, if you're thinking about getting engaged, you got to get to Robert Irwin Jewelers because I've got you covered. I've got a great engagement ring for anybody's budget, free financing, 5 locations, including the newest one in North Little Rock, Arkansas, or online at rijewelers.com. Come see me.
Hey, Memphis, this is Brian Reed, president of Best Care Plumbing, Heating, and Air. Old Man Winter is knocking on the door. Make sure your furnace is ready. Right now, get a furnace tune-up for $49, and if you know it's time for a new one, we can install a high-efficiency train system for as little as $130 a month. Call us today for an appointment, 624-1401. That's 624-1401. When it comes to your comfort, you deserve the best.
You deserve the best. Best Care Home Services.
Hi, this is Lauren Choate with Choate's Air Conditioning, Heating, and Plumbing. Merry Christmas and Happy New Year from our family to yours. As a Christian family-owned and operated company for more than 60 years, with a history of honest, quality work, using the best technologies available in the industry, we want you to make sure you keep your family warm and comfortable this holiday season by taking advantage of our $60 furnace tune-up special, which includes testing your furnace's safety capabilities, testing for carbon monoxide leaks, and helping keep your furnace running at its peak efficiency. Or maybe this holiday season, you're interested in a tankless water heater, or air duct cleaning, or even repairing that leaky faucet. We can take care of that too. Just give us a call at 347-8086 or visit our website at choateshvac.com. And remember, Choate's, let our family serve your family.
At the Great American Home Store, get a gift for yourself that keeps on giving. It's never been more affordable with savings of $100, $200, $300, all the way up to $1,000 cash savings. Finance with no money down and 3 years no interest, or choose up to 5 years interest-free. Top name brands like Bassett, Flexsteel, England by Lazy Boy, Corinthian, Mayo, and more. Find exciting savings throughout Great American's massive showrooms on bedroom, dining room, living room, from stationary sofas and sectionals to the largest selection of motion furniture in the Mid South. Looking for something special? You'll find it here with custom order options from finish to fabric with our custom order program. And the best part, you can have it in as little as 4 weeks. Need a new mattress? Right now, you'll find savings on Simmons, Beautyrest, Sealy, Stearns & Foster, and Tempur-Pedic. It's all in stock for immediate on-site pickup or express delivery. There's no place like home for Christmas. The Great American Home Store. Memphis, South Haven, or shop and buy online at gogahs.com.
Goodbye 2019, goodbye Windows 7. Dell's holiday sales are the perfect time to say hello to 2020 and a Windows 10 upgrade. Save big on their latest business computers powered by Intel Core processors. Don't forget to shop servers, storage, and thousands of top-brand electronics, all with free shipping. Call a small business technology advisor to help you find the right tech for your business needs at 877-BUY-DELL. That's 877-BUY-DELL, or visit dell.com/businessdeals.
This is Wesley's O'Reilly Auto Parts story.
When I'm just getting off work, there's only so many hours left in the day, so I definitely don't want to spend all my time waiting in line for car parts. With O'Reilly, I can buy the parts I need online and pick them up on my way home. It's so quick and easy, I don't have to worry about losing daylight to get my car up and running.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Broadcasting live from the Triumph Bank Studios, invested in our communities, making banking easy for you. Let's talk growth. Triumph Bank. It's the Jeff Calkins Show on 92.9 FM ESPN. Today's special guest host, Jeffrey Wright.
Steve White is, of course, the pride of Westwood High School, former Tennessee Vol, former Tampa Bay Buck, former New York Jet. He's on Twitter at SGW94. Make sure you always follow his Sunday NFL game threads, one of the highlights there on Twitter. He also blogs about the NFL for SB Nation. Steve, let's start here. Is there an argument to be made for, if Lamar Jackson's hobbled with his hamstring, is there an argument right now with the Ravens having essentially a two-game lead over the Patriots for the one seed? Is there an argument of, hey, man, maybe give him 10 days of rest and let RG3 have tonight?
I think you could make that argument, especially with them playing the Jets. It's not exactly a juggernaut. But it is Thursday night football, so you never know. I mean, they could definitely win that game. But, you know, running and using his legs is such an important part of Lamar's game, not just to, you know, gain yardage, but also to avoid the rush. And you want him to be at his best once the playoffs come around. So if I was him, I would definitely err on the side of caution. You have RG3 for a reason. he's shown that he can run pretty much the same offense and do a lot of good things, even in backup work the last 2 years. So, I mean, if you have enough confidence in him to make him your backup, these are the times you want to rely on him when it's a pretty much meaningless game against the Jets, and it gets you through where you can give Lamar a little bit more rest on that hamstring.
In terms of quiet offseason moves, has this season shown that Mark Ingram, when you consider fit, when you consider how well he complements Lamar, has that been one of the most underrated moves that we've seen this offseason?
Oh, yeah. It's definitely an underrated move. And even now, people really don't recognize how much of a tempo setter Mark Ingram is for that offense. He comes out there and sets the tone, man. Everybody talks about Lamar, but let me tell you, when he's handing the ball off to Mark Ingram, the defense isn't happy about that either. He, you know, starts it off. And the thing about it is the Ravens, nobody would have blamed them if they stayed pat at running back. You know, they had the Gus bus last year.
Oh, yeah.
Came out and showed that he could run the football really well. It would have made sense to tell the offense to him, but they went out there and got a little bit of an upgrade in Mark Ingram. And now you have both of those guys coming there and really pounding the defense. And then you got Lamar challenging them on the edges. So it's just a perfect fit for that offense, really the perfect fit for that team. I think he really embodies what the Ravens have been over the course of, you know, their existence.
What do you make of when we look at kind of the three teams that seem to be what we most would consider contenders in the AFC, with Baltimore, which appears to match up extremely well with the Patriots. The Patriots, which we thought matched up pretty well with Kansas City, and at times defensively they looked pretty good against Kansas City. But then Kansas City also seems to match up fairly well with the Ravens, despite what we saw, you know, on Sunday with the Patriots offense. When you look at the AFC race, how do you kind of handicap it right now?
Well, it's hard to say because you have such conflicting styles. And that's really what it boils down to. You got the high-flying offense with Kansas City, and then you got the smash-mouth football with the Ravens. And, you know, we know that the Chiefs' defense has some vulnerabilities, but we're not sure if the Ravens' offense can take care of those particular vulnerabilities. By the same token, the Ravens' defense has really come on strong. I remember at the beginning of the year, there were a lot of question marks about whether they could rush the passer, about their pass defense. Now you have Earl Thomas back there. They traded for the cornerback from the Rams. So they're playing really well, too. I think that's kind of an underrated storyline in the second half of this season as well. Their defense is leading them a lot, too, along with that you know, smash-mouth offense. So the key is, you know, back when the Patriots were you know, scoring a bunch of points, everybody said one of the keys is your offense has to possess the football and keep them off the field, their offense off the field.
Yeah.
That's one of the things that would be interesting to see if the Ravens can do that if they end up in a matchup with the Chiefs. The Patriots right now are just kind of limping along, so I don't count them out, but I'm not really sure that they're as strong as we're used to them seeing.
What have you made of their offensive struggles?
Well, I mean, you know, you start the season off, you got Josh Gordon, you think you're going to feed him.
Yeah.
For whatever reason, that doesn't work out. Then you get Antonio Brown. So just the fact that, you know, those two guys kind of cycled in and out of there, they even had Demaryius Thomas for a while, shows that they already had concerns about their receiver core. And, of course, you're missing Gronk. Nobody has really stepped up in his place. They signed the veteran at the beginning of the season. He was suspended. Then he comes in, he ends up getting cut because he's not a good fit. Lacoste hasn't really stepped up. So it's just a matter of they don't have the weapons that we're used to them seeing. A lot of times we just assume teams are going to be good no matter what. But it takes the Jimmys and Joes, not just the X's and O's. And right now they don't have really good Jimmys and Joes at their skill position.
Do you think that there's something to the idea that with this shuffling of the skill position guys, particularly receivers, tight ends, do you think there's something to the idea that part of their offensive struggles have been no one's on the same page? Because, you know, from my understanding of everything I read about Josh McDaniels, a lot of their route running, a lot of it is, you know, it's they call one play, but you could run three different routes based on the type of look that you get. And it feels to me as if whenever I watch Patriots games, about half the time Tom Brady is looking at the receivers downfield with his hands up, and he deserves plenty of blame too, in my opinion. But I've just wondered if this constant shuffling has caused so much of the way that they stall out.
Well, I mean, I think there's enough blame to go around. You know,
sure.
I didn't mention the offensive line, but they've had their struggles this year. They got the young second-year left tackle who was hurt all last season. He's kind of helped them, but the offensive line isn't what it used to be. That's why they can't run the football the way they did last year. And that's really what kind of – remember last year they changed that offense where they were really run-heavy in the second half of the year, and that's how they went ahead and won the Super Bowl. They can't really even do that anymore. So I just think it's a matter of you got so many guys in and out. Now they got Sanu. They traded for him. Doesn't seem to be working out that well with him either. It's just, you know, all around, it just seems to be a mess, and I'm not sure how they correct it before they get to the playoffs.
When we take a look at the Ravens, and particularly Lamar Jackson, what have been, if you were designing a defense, if you had the whole week to plan for him, how would you try to limit him, I guess would be the best way I'd say it, because I don't know if you can ever really just stop him because he's just playing at that kind of level. What would you do? What have you noticed that gives the Ravens problems offensively?
it really depends. Like, see, part of the problem is this offense is so unique.
Yeah.
And it's hard to prepare for it in a week. If you had a whole offseason, you could probably come up with a whole bunch of wrinkles and make sure everybody on defense is on the same page so that everybody gets the same check and everybody, you know, knows, okay, we're playing this kind of coverage or we're playing this kind of blitz. When 1 week, though, it's hard to get everybody on the same page when everybody has to have their own assignment. It's assignment football when you're talking about, you know, the read option or any kind of option plays they're doing. Everybody has to do their responsibility. And it's so hard to do that. You're coached up on defense to make plays when you see them, but sometimes you have to pass that play up and go and do something else because that's not your responsibility. And they make you pay when you're in the wrong gap or you take the wrong guy. That offense takes advantage of that almost every single time. About the only thing I can think of is weather.
Yeah.
And that's because at some point, you know, you're going to have to throw the football. And I don't think that right now Lamar is good enough to throw in bad weather. But his throwing has really, really improved, not just at the beginning of the season, but it's actually improved from week to week. One thing I keep telling people is it's not just that he's accurate. He actually has, touch on the football now where he's putting the ball exactly where he wants it to be. And that's why if you look, he hasn't thrown a whole bunch of interceptions this year either. So I think that weather could affect them on offense, but that's about it. You got to basically pray that, you know, God will bless you with some rain. Other than that, I don't know what to tell you.
No, I think that's fair. I mean, I think when we saw the San Francisco game, I think that knowing what I know about San Francisco's defense, particularly their front, which is awesome, I do think the weather had more to do with that probably than San Francisco did. Big game locally here. Houston goes over to Nashville on Sunday. It's the noon game. You can hear it on 92.9 FM ESPN. They take on the Titans. It's now for control of the AFC South. What do you make up of the matchup? I look at the way that Tannehill's playing, and I look at Houston's secondary, and if I'm the Titans, I have to feel like this is a pretty good time to get the Texans.
I think so, too. Look, they don't have J.J. Watt. You know, Mercer hasn't really been playing all that well either, so you don't necessarily have to worry about the big pass rush that you're used to seeing from, you know, the Houston Texans up front. That offense in Tennessee are pounding the football right now. I mean,
yeah.
Who's more dominant than Derrick Henry right now? I can't think of anybody. And nobody wants to see him once he gets into the secondary. So they're going to punish you all game long. I've talked about Tannehill before. I'm actually on the Tannehill train now. I told Jeff last week that this year, this seems to be his year. Everything's falling in place for him. Even when he does turn the football over, his defense is able to, you know, cover his backside for it. So I think the Titans are built to win and maybe go deep in the playoffs. Right now, Houston looks a little disheveled. You know, they got smashed last week by the lowly Broncos with the rookie quarterback in there. So, I mean, I love Deshaun Watson. I love a lot of their skill guys. But I just don't think as a team, right now they have enough talent to stand up to Tennessee, especially in Nashville. So I pick Tennessee.
Okay, I wanted to ask you this because what you mentioned with Derrick Henry in my football guys group chat, I made the statement, and I still believe this, and I want your opinion on it. I think Derrick Henry's a top five back right now. Am I insane for thinking that?
No, who would you put in front of him, really? I mean, there's some other guys who maybe have more yards. I like McCaffrey. I like Fournette. I like a lot of those young guys. But who does a defense not want to see? Take it from an old NFL defensive lineman. Nobody wants to tackle Derrick Henry, especially as the temperatures start to drop and the weather starts getting worse and your fingers hurt every time you're trying to tackle somebody. You do not want to see a defensive end running down your throat the whole game long. So if it's me, he's top three.
Yeah, I mean, you mentioned McCaffrey. Yeah, I think you have to say Kamara. But then after that, like I was legitimately making the case that I think for this season right now, Mark Ingram is the guy. I'm not making pardon, not Mark Ingram. Ingram and Lamar Jackson is the guy that I want. But at this point right now, Derrick Henry is. Like, we talk with Mike Keith, of course, who's the Titans play-by-play guy every Monday on our afternoon show, and so I find myself watching Titans games intently. But I just see, man, God, does he deliver the blow? And I'm like you, man. I just know that has to be tiring for a defense to go up against, you know, play after play when you know that guy's going to carry it 25, 30 times a game.
And the thing of it is, it's not just that he's pounding you. He's pounding you, and he's getting these long runs as well. So it's not like, well, he's just going to get three yards in a cloud of dust. He's going to get three, then he's going to get five, then he's going to break one for 30 on you. So he's going to beat you either way. He can run over you or around you.
I guess I have to throw Dalvin Cook in there. I've loved Dalvin since he was at Florida State. I'd throw him in that mix too. But let's move on to the NFC. Of course, a big game this weekend, the Rams taking on the Cowboys. Is this a coincidence or is this something that we can take from this? The Cowboys have still yet to beat a team that has a winning record. Is that coincidence or is there something to that?
Well, at this point, it's a coincidence in my opinion.
Yeah.
Because right now, the Dallas Cowboys team that they're fielding on the field right now is not the Dallas Cowboys team that they had week one. You know, there's a whole bunch of guys hurt and key injuries. LVE hasn't played in a while. And I'm telling you right now, Sean Lee is a backup at best right now, but they have him in there starting, and he just looks awful. And so, I mean, even the left guard, Connor Williams, is out. So you have some key injuries, maybe not like the whole team's hurt, but Jeff Heath hurts both of his shoulders. And the backups that come in there just are not good enough. I watched that tape last week from the Bears game, and the truth of the matter was this. The Bears were the better team talent-wise in that game. They're, you know, 22 players versus the Cowboys' 22 players. That's what it comes down to. And the problem for the Cowboys is they don't have the kind of coaching that can overcome a talent deficit. So for right now, they're not going to win very many games until they get healthier.
What are the things that stand out to you when you watch a team and then you leave saying that's not a well-coached team?
Well, undisciplined, getting penalties. They had two offsides on different drives on third downs that ended up leading to touchdowns. That's huge.
Yeah.
You got a third and two, you stop them, but you're offsides. You have a third and nine, but you stop them, but you're offsides. They come up and convert on third and four and go down and score. That's 14 points they shouldn't have had right there. And then you're talking about guys being out of position, you know, guys Dak, a lot of people were talking about Dak being off. To me, when I looked at the film, it wasn't that he was off as far as his accuracy. He was just throwing to the wrong guy.
Yeah.
I'm looking at guys running open, and he's running to the cover. He's throwing to the cover guy. He threw it to 18 one time, and it's about as good a throw as you can throw in a quadruple coverage, but you're throwing into quadruple coverage. Why not throw to the guy who's singled up outside and who's wide open? So somebody has to be telling him to throw it to Cobb instead of the guy that's open, and that goes back to coaching.
What do you make of – we mentioned the Bears. The Bears take on the Packers. It's I don't even know if the Bears really have a legitimate path forward, but it's an interesting game in that it does appear the Bears are playing better and the Packers have at times looked vulnerable here the last 3 or 4 weeks. What do you make of this one this weekend?
Yeah, look, you know, everybody's trying to make it seem like Trubisky has turned a corner after he's done awful all season.
Not this
I think
era.
You see the awful Trubisky again on Sunday. I think he'll revert back to who he's always been. He's not that good of a quarterback, man. He's made, like, a few good throws. But remember, he threw the interception to start the game off last week. It's just the Cowboys are not a good defense. The Packers have some pretty good players on defense now. They're going to get after you up front. Zadarius and Preston Smith, the Smith boys, they're going to get after Trubisky. So I wouldn't be, you know, thinking that the Bears have somehow turned things around right now. I know the Packers have been a little inconsistent as well, but I expect them to blow the doors off the Bears this week.
And then an interesting Sunday night game. We've got Buffalo at Pittsburgh. I don't think you can say enough about the job Mike Tomlin has done this year, considering what he's had to deal with at the quarterback position, some of the injuries he's had to done, essentially revamping his defense. Buffalo is a team with a clear identity. What do you make of this matchup? Because, you know, it does kind of affect at least wild card seeding. And really, if you're Buffalo right now, you're not exactly out of it with the division the way the Patriots look.
Look, the Bills, you know, went toe-to-toe with the Ravens last week and almost pulled out that upset. And I'm not even sure if it would have been that much of an upset because This team is really good at this point. The only question mark still is basically the quarterback, Josh Allen, and he's starting to answer those pretty effectively. The thing you have to worry about with him is the big brain fart. Yeah. Every game he's going to have one or two big brain farts, and he's just got to hope that you weather them. But he's still a weapon, you know, getting those first downs with his legs. He's got the laser arm. John Brown is a legitimate deep threat. I applaud Mike Tomlin for the job he's done this year. You know, he's playing with like a third or fourth string quarterback now, and they still have a chance to make the playoffs. But I think this is a situation where the Bills are just too much better than the Steelers, and I think they're going to show it this week. Although I do like the quarterback that's been playing here lately. He's really been getting the ball down the field to their playmakers.
Yeah, I think I could make the argument if Mike Tomlin makes the playoffs with a quarterback who is named Duck, I feel like that could be just as significant as his Super Bowl. Like, I just, like, the job he's done.
It's one of his best coaching performances ever, that's for sure.
It's unbelievable. Steve, we appreciate the time as always each and every Thursday, my man.
All right, thanks for having me.
That is Steve White, of course, of SB Nation. He's on Twitter at SGW94. We come back. Jonah's been hanging out with us. We'll get back into Tiger football news. We'll discuss that with Jonah when we come back right here on the Jeff Calkins Show, 92.9 FM, ESPN.
The internet. You need it. Almost every minute of the day. Because, hey, you've got shows to stream, emails to reply all to, and LOLs to, LOL. That's why you need Xfinity. You can get the fastest, most reliable internet with gig speeds available. So you can get online and get down to business faster. And Xfinity delivers enhanced network security so all your connected devices are protected. Get instant alerts when strangers are trying to hop on your network, set curfews with parental controls, and pause your Wi-Fi at dinner time. That's life with Xfinity, the best internet provider in America, according to speedtest.net. Now that's simple, easy, awesome. Get started with Xfinity Internet for $20 a month for 12 months with a one-year agreement. Or get four times the speed for just $10 more a month for 12 months. Plus, add enhanced network security. Go online, call 1-800-XFINITY, or visit a store today. Requires equal bill and autopay. Ends 1-7-20. Restrictions apply. New performance starter 25 megabits per second internet customers only. Equipment, taxes, and fees extra and subject to change. After term, regular rates apply. Actual speeds vary and are not guaranteed.
It's Howie with Robert Irwin Jewelers, and I know you have a gift for any budget.
That's right. I've got Love's Crossing diamond necklaces. Brand new. You can't get them anywhere else.
And?
We got tons of unique gift ideas this year at Robert Irwin Jewelers. We've got double diamond hoops, $299. We've got flexible bangle bracelets. You got to check these out, man. You could twist them, turn them, you could stack them. Start at only $599, but they will sell out, so you got to get to Robert Irwin Jewelers. Free financing, 5 locations, including the new one in North Little Rock, Arkansas, or online at rijewelers.com.
Welcome to More Than Enough Reason with Geico. You're eating spicy food and start to get that prickly feeling on your tongue.
Oh, this has a kick.
You have more than enough reason to pump the brakes, but no, nothing's gonna hold you back now.
This is good. A little hot, but
Good.
You've also got more than enough reason to switch to GEICO. Because with GEICO, you've got the ability to reach an agent for help 24/7. Unlike your ability to get more water at this restaurant.
Yeah, you can just leave the pitcher this time.
And even though you regret overlooking the four little peppers next to your dish on the menu, you'll never feel overlooked with GEICO. Because they're available 24/7. Maybe that's why they've got a 97% customer satisfaction rating.
Oh, wow.
So, while you're trying to look composed with a mouthful of ice cubes as you fan yourself with the drink menu, you can feel relieved knowing GEICO helps with homeowners and renters insurance through the GEICO Insurance Agency, too. At least, once you can feel your lips again.
GEICO. More reasons than ever to switch today.
This is Gary Parrish. The Bluff Restaurant and Sports Bar is a great place right next to the University of Memphis campus on the Highland Strip. And if you have an event, a birthday party, a wedding party, a graduation party, any kind of party, book some space at the Bluff. You can rent out any part of the Bluff, the front to the back to the mezzanine, and the place is big enough to accommodate 600 people. They can cater the event for you, or you can provide your own catering. Terrific rates, and you can trust that someone on staff is going to be on site to make sure your event is perfect. TheBluffMemphis.com and click the Host Your Event tab to get it booked today. TheBluffMemphis.com.
Robert Irwin Jewelers, bigger, brighter diamonds. I've got you covered this Christmas. Great gifts for anybody's budget, free financing, and five locations, including the newest one in North Little Rock, Arkansas, or online at rijewelers.com.
This year, don't just say happy holidays. Get a gift that says, I love every moment that led us here. With the incredible selection of Levion jewelry at Jared and more exclusive designs than any other store in the world, it's a perfect place to find a gift that says it all. Shop the Levion Fall in Love event from December 3rd to 12th for exclusive offers, including $100 off any Levion purchase, only at Jared.
Get a promo code or find a store near you at Jared.com. Exclusions apply. See store or Jared.com/Levion for complete details.
Broadcasting live from the Triumph Bank Studios, invested in our communities, making banking easy for you. Let's talk growth. Triumph Bank. It's the Jeff Calkins Show on 92.9 FM ESPN. Today's special guest host, Jeffrey Wright.
Over up at the Daily Memphian, Jonah Jordan has a, what would you say? I would call it a living document for your coach's hot board.
Yeah, it's like a hot board coaching tracker thing that is.
Yeah, it blends between tracking and it's being updated constantly.
Yeah, going to have an update when I leave here.
Of course, one of the biggest updates is that Adam Fuller indeed is headed to Tallahassee to become the defensive coordinator for Florida State. Unclear, it appears at this moment, whether or not Adam Fuller is going to coach the bowl game for the Tigers. But let's get back into what really matters, because while assistants are an integral part of any staff,
it's more important to Florida State right now than it is to Memphis.
Correct. What matters to Memphis is who's going to be leading the program. So let's discuss a couple of the names. Everyone, of course, at this point knows Ryan Silverfield. When you've had conversations about Will Healy, Will Healy's over at Charlotte. He is from Chattanooga originally. Played at UT Chat. He coached at UT Chat. Then he took the Austin Peay job, which is at the FCS level, it is historically a terrible job. He had a nice run.
Built that roster so Mark Hudspeth, who
he's there now,
varying opinions of, could take them to, I think they went 11-3 this year.
Yep.
Had a really, really good run. I don't think that happens without Will Healy.
No, I think that's fair, because
he knows the state of Tennessee. He's very smart, very capable. The problem is, the biggest knock you hear against Will Healy is he's only been out of FCS for 1 year.
Only been out of FCS for 1 year, and he doesn't even have, you know, GA, doesn't have any
he's never
assistant
worked in a
experience
big program.
At a big program. But in terms of, you know, I do think if you're going to coach in the SEC, I think you have to have recruited the SEC, and I'll let everyone draw their conclusions how they may. But I do wonder if a formula that he had at Austin Peay would be a decent formula for the University of Memphis, because you can do kind of the same type thing, but with a better program, a better job. I do wonder, the way that he built his roster at Austin Peay, if that could be a formula for Memphis.
Maybe. I mean, it's probably a similar deal where there's not a lot of money at Austin Peay. Probably have more at Memphis, but it's still in the grand scheme of things, it's not a lot. And when you compare it to other schools, you're having to scrap for guys like some Mike got in with those kind of middling three stars.
Yeah. The guys that you're having to prey on signing day, other bigger programs don't strike, and then like, they go, hey, we'll take you.
You're holding your breath on signing day. Yeah. Like, man, really hope they don't come around. I think it comes down to how good of an evaluator he would be.
Sure.
But I don't know. He's smart. People respect him. I think he'd have a problem right away hiring a staff. He's going to need help with that because
I do know, to your point, I know that Missouri was kicking the tires pretty hard, and one of the issues was that he wanted to basically bring staff at Charlotte with him.
You can't do that. Can't bring your Charlotte staff. You could probably bring a couple of them,
sure,
but it's very similar to what Norvell's dealing with right now. You can't bring the entire staff. You can't bring your Memphis staff and just transplant it over to Florida State. You can't bring the Charlotte staff to Memphis. I'm sure there's some good people in there. I'm sure they're – I'm not trying to insult them, but it's just you can't. Like, it doesn't work like that.
In your opinion, you've covered it from a recruiting level. You've covered it from a beat writer perspective. We've seen Justin Fuente do it one way. We've seen Mike Norvell do it another way. What do you think is the best way to go about building a roster here at Memphis?
I think Norvell did it better.
Yeah.
No offense to Fuente, but I think the way he did it set up the next person. I mean, it did.
The next person
who has this roster
I think what Mike did is more repeatable than what Justin did.
Yes, because what Fuente did was he relied on guys that probably – I mean, it's what he needed to do at the time.
Sure.
But he relied on guys who ended up getting in trouble. He had – like, those guys that got in trouble were Fuente guys. He relied on walk-ons developing. He relied on – he had some misses, and he relied on just being a great evaluator.
And he hit on a quarterback.
He hit on a quarterback, and that's what ended up getting him a job elsewhere. And that's what – you know, that's great, but how sustainable was that? That was the biggest question. If Fuente had come back, how sustainable is this? Because he's not recruiting at a very high level, and I don't know how high of a level he's recruiting over there at Virginia Tech, but he's just not, he's not a big recruiter. He's not big on it. He's just not. He's a coach him up kind of guy, and Norvell went out, and he stacked it with talent. You got, look at the running back room next year. You got Kenny Gainwell, Kylan Watkins, Rodriguez Clark, and Asa Martin,
yeah,
and then Kylan Granberry, if everything comes to pass. That's no transfers, and if their signing class stays the same. That is the equivalent of what? I mean, that may be better than Ole Miss's running back room.
Not anymore, but it's better than some SEC running back. Jaron Ealy's a good player.
Ealy's really good. But like,
Snoop Connor's a good player.
Better than where Arkansas is right now.
Yes, no arguments there.
Like, I just think that it's an interesting thing that he's left this team in a very good spot. If they don't have anybody go to the NFL, they don't have anybody hit the portal, which I don't think they won't have anybody go to the NFL. This team is still on pace to be the most talented Memphis roster we've seen ever, which is insane.
No, I mean, I think the draft over the next 3 years is going to show how good Mike Norvell was at building this roster from a talent perspective. I think DeMonte Coxey is going to be cashing checks in the NFL for a very long time.
I think Antonio Gibson is.
I think he certainly has the skill set that is going to appeal to them. Wow, he's fast.
Wow, he can run really fast.
He is explosive with the ball in his hands.
It is that the juke move is going to make him a lot of money.
Yes, and the NFL is very good at finding ways to get you the football and get you in one-on-one matchups, and I definitely think that's right. And of course, we know Kenny Gainwell's.
Oh, yeah. Kenny Gainwell.
He's obviously an NFL running back.
I think Sanchez Blake. I think Chris Claybrooks could be, too.
I think same idea. He can run.
Yeah, he can run. Even if Chris Claybrooks isn't able to find footing as a cornerback, which I think some coach is going to get a hold of him and be like, okay, we're figuring out the cornerback thing. He can be a special teams player. He could be people have made a living off being a special teams player. I mean, it's not a bad thing.
David Tyree, before the helmet catch, made a career being a special teams guy. Danny Wimprine was on Giannotto and Jeffrey with us on Friday, and I thought this is the point that he was making about the difference between even the good teams that he was on and what Mike was able to do at Memphis. You know, Danny was talking about, man, when you look at that receiver position, when you look at the running backs, he goes, man, we were happy to have guys that could run 4.7s.
Yeah.
And you look at these guys and, you know, they could backpedal 4.7. I mean, that's just that it's a completely different idea. So I suppose this would be my question. Do you think with the idea that we were running with that Mike's system and what Mike was able to do in terms of building a roster, which I think is the most important aspect. I will always go, listen, I'm as big of a fan of great coaching, great scheme as anyone. But at the end of the day, it's if you can get better players, I know who's going to win nine times out of 10. Do you feel as if that is enough of a case for Ryan Silverfield because he's been in the thick of it? He knows that he's been a huge part of the recruiting operation.
So I made this analogy to you the other day. Anybody who's watched the U documentaries.
Oh, yeah. The 30 for 30s.
The 30 for 30 on the Miami Hurricanes. Butch Davis. He left for the Browns or something.
He took the Browns job, yeah.
All the players went to the administration and were like, hire Larry Coker. If you want us to keep winning, if you want this to be the same, hire Larry Coker. And I think that's a very similar situation to the one we're in right now, where I don't think a lot would change with Ryan at the helm. I think that small things probably would be. I think things behind the scenes that fans don't care about or don't care to see or don't know about would change, but it would be insignificant. I think he's a very similar personality. He's been planning for this a long time. I think it would be as similar as you could get. I don't think anybody else out there could do the same thing. I think they could have success, no doubt. Like Will Healy, Billy Napier, all those people are very smart, very capable. Dan Lanning, like these guys could come in here and have success. But for it to be the same, I think it would be Silverfield.
Would you have any reservations? Because at the end, you know, Coker gives them a national championship, and they were a phantom flag away from perhaps two national championships. Would you have any concern, though, that was not sustainable under Larry Coker, and given the fact that you and I both understand there are other reasons
why Miami
fell off, but still.
No, it's totally sustainable. I really, like, I don't have any doubt in my mind that what they're doing over there was sustainable and that Ryan Silverfield could pick up the helm and keep it running.
Jonah Jordan, he has a update on his coach's hot board that's available up over at the Daily Memphian. That is coming up very shortly. So again, subscribe to the Daily Memphian. Make sure you're following Jonah's. It's a hybrid of the coaching hot board and the coaching tracker. And he's done a fantastic job updating it, because anytime I'm trying to figure out, okay, what's the latest, I just go and pull up that document, and it is fantastic. Connor, thank you for keeping it with us. I'll see you in a grand total of 3 hours. We'll do this again. I'll graciously let you produce your own program.
Yes, looking forward to it.
We'll do that again. Giannotto and Jeffrey today will be talking not only this coaching search, we'll also get into Tennessee-Memphis basketball, which we'll get into tomorrow with Jason Smith here on the Jeff Calkins Show. For Connor, for Jonah, this is Jeffrey saying thanks for listening. Keep listening. Jason and John's coming up next.
Celebrating a decade as Memphis at America's very best. This is WMFS FM and HD1 Bartlett. WMFS Memphis, a radio.com sports station. 92.9 FM, ESPN.
All right, Robert Owen Jewelers is the place to go if you are getting engaged. And I know that because, Jeffrey, where did you go when you were getting engaged?
Robert Irwin Jewelers.
And how would you describe your experience?
Arguably the best shopping experience that I've ever had, because as I've told you, Jeff, I grew up with boys. I went to boys' school growing up. This world is so unknown to me, and I don't know about you, but when I don't have any previous information or any, you know, before knowledge, I just get overwhelmed. But
the funny thing is you would think, honestly, that shopping for an engagement ring could be one of the worst shopping experiences.
Yes.
For all the reasons you described, the pressure of getting it right, the fact that you have no idea what you're doing, whatever else, feel out of your depth, and yet it's the most important purchase of your life. At Robert Owen Jewelers, they totally put you at ease. They do not try to tell you that you need to have X amount of your income for the rest of your life to buy a diamond ring. Fact is that they also have, if you're interested in it, lab-created, artisan-created diamonds. These are actual diamonds. They're just about 20 or 30% less, but they are the same. They also, of course, have your mined diamonds. That's what Jeffrey has, and stunning, bigger, beautiful diamonds at Robert Owen Jewelers. Also, here we are, less than 2 weeks until Christmas. They have a whole range of jewelry at a whole range of prices, starting in the, you know, below $100. And you can get beautiful stuff, too. They have five locations. Four of them are in Memphis. I go to the one that's right across from Davis Kit, but there are four other locations. Go to rijewelers.com and find the one nearest you. Again, for 13 days. Do not waste another moment.
Want your roof done right?
Well, yeah.
Then call the A-Team, 901-605-ROOF. A-Team roofers are licensed contractors and doesn't cut corners. We have on-site supervisors, and we only hire and train the best.
I pity the fool that doesn't check out our online reviews.
A-TeamRoofers.com.
At the Happy Honda Days sales event, you can unwrap incredible deals that'll make you...
Oh my gosh.
You know, the kind of gift that makes you...
No way.
Yep, that's basically Happy Honda Days in a chestnut shell.
Get a great deal on a 2019 Accord from KBB.com's best overall brand for 2019 with 1.9% APR financing for well-qualified buyers.
Visit your Memphis area Honda dealer for great deals during the Happy Honda Days sales event.
See dealer for financing details. Excludes hybrid models based on 2019 brand image awards from Kelley Blue Book. Visit KBB.com for more information.
That's that crunch of Papa John's brand new garlic parmesan crust. Fresh, never frozen original dough topped with parmesan and Papa John's famous garlic sauce. If Pavlov's dog went crazy over a bell, imagine the tizzy it'd throw over this crunch. Get a one-topping pizza with the new garlic parmesan crust for just $10. Better ingredients, better pizza. Papa John's. Not valid with discounts. Fees and taxes extra. Prices may vary.
It's Howie with Robert Irwin Jewelers, and everyone...
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.